Good morning. I will be reading to you today from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Time for our dismissal to our Roots service for children aged 3 to 3rd grade. Let's sing them out. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
good morning. Good to see you all today. Today is our last Sunday for our time in 1 John. We've camped out here for 6 weeks now, having it tend to us and us tending to the text. Caleb and I have gone back and forth preaching from this short letter, with Michael Tucker graciously filling in for me a week too. We've talked about several things. We've talked about sin, especially don't do it. Especially, don't do it. We know what sin does to an individual, and we know what it does to a community, because sin always has to do with harming relationship. John says, stay mindful here. Purify yourselves. Get rid of that which does not build up. We've talked about sin's inverse, do love. This is about right relationship, about wholeness in relationship. Love your sisters and brothers whom you do see. How can you say you love God if you don't care for the well-being of the person right there in front of you? Make no mistake, John says, since Jesus laid down his life for us, you are called to do the same for each other. We've talked about the motivation behind it all, the stir stick that blends don't sin and do love together. It's the love of God. God's deep and abiding and unending love for you. We love because God first loved us. Last week, Caleb talked to us about the cosmos, the world, the cosmic scope of the divine, how God in Christ has tilted things in creation's favor to live as God intended. What a great phrase that is. God's commands, don't sin, do love. They are not burdensome. They are freeing. God's commands may not be a burden, but they are, we admit, a challenge. It's not that I wake up one day and something clicks and I begin to live absolutely perfectly from here on out. Don't sin, do love because God first loved you. Sounds great in principle, but man, throw a few unsavory people in the mix and you've got a real test on your hands. This is hard work. This is hard soul work. It takes years and even a lifetime of choices and decisions, continuing not only to keep coming back to the commands of God, but also to trust them. Part of that challenging soul work for Christians comes in reading the Bible. Actually, opening the Bible and reading it, yes, but more than that. When we read Scripture in general and 1 John in particular, our task is not to handle it like a textbook, searching for questions and answers you think might be on the final exam. A Bible is not a best-selling self-help manual. It's not a book used for fast-paced trivia nights. We can't merely cherry-pick nice-sounding verses for decorative wall hangings. When Scripture is just about the eye, reading the words on the page, then we've objectified them rather than personalized them. We've read, but we've not listened. And those two acts are different. If our reading stays at surface level, facts and figures and check marks and bare minimums, if we never bend down to see what else might be there, then we will not discover a whole other world just beneath the surface. Beauty, grace, wonder. The words we read in Scripture in 1 John involves the eye as a start and must move to the ear, which then must descend to the heart. The act of reading becomes an act of listening. Eyes, ears, heart, which is a triangled way of saying engaging our entire being with the capital W, Word of God. Jesus, the capital W Word, puts flesh and bone to Scripture, makes it alive in us and in the world. John says as much when he opens his letter this way. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one who is life was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. These verses started our time in 1 John back on April 8th, the first Sunday after Easter. Caleb preached on how John is testifying firsthand his account of being with the Christ, sharing, witnessing, testifying what he saw, heard, touched. The word testify comes from the word martyreo. From that we get the word martyr. We usually think of a martyr as someone being killed for something they believe in. It's more than that. Martyr is about bearing witness to what you know is true. A martyr, by their very life, gives testimony. This is what John is doing. He gives testimony. I've seen Jesus. I've heard him. I've eaten with him. We've shared wine together. I saw him die. I saw him raised. Come, he says, and share in our joy of the God who lives. We do not hear, see, touch like John did, like those first disciples did. But God has heard, seen, touched you, us. And we have a story to share as well. When someone shares a story, you lean in a little closer, don't you? Your ears perk up. You hang on their words. And then you begin to appreciate something in them in a way you did not before. At the Coffee House Talent Show last Sunday night, Ken McCollum, for example, plays the harmonica and gives history about the songs, and you appreciate not only the harmonica a bit more, but also Ken. Same thing when Cynthia recites Casey at the Bat, or when Ellery talks about how she herself composed two piano pieces she then performed for us. We hear the harmonica and poems, piano, in a new way when story is attached. There's also something to be said about shared experience. Just last week, people all over social media wrote stories during Teacher Appreciation Week about how teachers impacted them. One person tells a story about their professor, which triggers thoughts about your own professor whom you loved, and you've got to share your story. Shared experience is also why the Me Too movement is so important and prevalent. When women everywhere share their experiences of being harassed and demeaned by men, there is comfort in knowing that they are not alone. And there is a common movement to prevent such destructive behavior from happening again. When someone shares their story about how God is working in their life, or how they long for God to show up in their life, other people hear it. They resonate with it. They take stock of their own life. C.S. Lewis writes this: friendship arises out of mere companionship when they discover that they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which the others do not share, and which until that moment each believed to be their own unique treasure or burden. The typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." It is when two such persons discover one another, when sharing their vision, it is then that friendship is born. And instantly they stand together in an immense solitude. After my foot surgery, I can't tell you how many people came up to me to ask how I was doing and then launch into their own surgery stories or foot issues. Shared experience. Me too. Standing together. Testimony connects people to each other. Bearing witness connects people who love Jesus to each other. People who believe. People who doubt, people who smile all the time, and people who cannot smile anymore. We proclaim to you all these things so that you may have fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. This morning, we have three of us who will share testimonies. How they've seen, heard, and beheld the Spirit of Jesus. We'll have Martha Hahn go first, followed by Lincoln, and then Jessica Vaughn will be our third. Martha?
I began my path to this place, this very spot and time, a long time ago, and I started at a little North Texas town. Is that better? Okay, thank you. It's all lined up here. Anyway, I didn't get here by accident. It's been a long journey getting to this spot and time. I left the little town of Denison. And I left everything that I knew and that I trusted away from safety and went first to the University of Texas at Austin. I was there a few years, and then I was in Florida, which was a long drive by myself down there, and that was my first teaching job. And I was often afraid driving that far. My mother was more afraid than I was. But then there was a third leg of that journey up to the University of Illinois for more schoolwork. And finally I came to Houston. And I won't go into all those details because many of you know that it's been a long path and a lot has happened here. But everywhere I went, there were good things, but there was also darkness. There was fear of the unknown. There was fear of the unexpected. I make most of my friends crazy planning things out and having to know exactly what's going to happen when, and I don't deal with uncertainty well. But this fear of the unknown, the unexpected, creates a darkness that shadows over us and is permeating within the spirit so much of the time. And what was happening, I was ignoring John's teaching. For a long time, I didn't even know it because the tradition I grew up in didn't study scripture too specifically. But in John chapter 1, verse 5, he tells us what Jesus taught him. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So imagine for a moment, as I did this week preparing for this, there's so many moments in our lives when we're living in fear, we're trembling, but I can look back even now and see them. That fear wrapped me in this darkness, and that it created a coldness within my spirit. But there, do you see? There's a light. There's a special light, and it's always there. And it's the light of God that comes through because he's promised that it will be there for us if we will open ourselves to it. And it lives within us because it's as Christ taught that it would be. And so I joined John this morning and opened my eyes to Christ, and I smile as I proclaim to you, there really is no darkness. We've had the light all along. We just need to open our eyes to it and enjoy it and treasure it. Thank you.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank God for God. My journey with God started, if people say, when did you find God? I get that question. But to me, it's more like God found me in a little bitty boy. I didn't have to look for him. My grandmother had me in the church for 4 or 5 years old. And I'll never forget she'd always say, it's a little light of mine. And it's what we're saying about the light has always been there. It's like, to me, I always wonder why. It seemed like God always had a halo or something over me and protected me. And I always wonder, well, why? And a lot of times, as humans, we want to walk in the path of God and do as he do, but we have a tendency to stray and do what we want to do and not what he says for us to do. And my thing is even when we stray and do wrong, God is still there. That light is always there. God has protected me and done for me out of my wildest dreams. And I can stand up here and talk to next Sunday and tell you the things God has done for me, but I won't. I'll try to make it short and sweet, which is hard for me to do. But God has protected me and done things for me out of my wildest dreams. I was telling Brother Steve, I walked in the house one night. Guy pulled a gun on me and said, shoot him. And another guy said, don't shoot him. To me, that's God. I was in a bathtub one night taking a bath. I was living with a coworker, and I heard some fighting going on. And if you're in your bathtub taking your bath, something else going on ain't no concern of yours. To me, God said, Lincoln, you go out there and stop what's going on. I get out the bathtub, think I wrap the towel around me. I walk outside, and this guy finna hit the guy in the head with a 2x4. And my eye, and I put my hand up there and stopped him. And it cut my hand wide open. And I didn't realize until I got back to the bathroom, and I'm washing my hands, and zinc kept getting blood and blood. And I said to myself, Lincoln, what made you get up out the bathtub and go out there and put your hand up there? Well, I come to the conclusion, God sent me out there to save that guy's life. It just busted my hand. If he'd hit that guy in the head with the 2x4, it would have killed it. But it's the things God has done for me. I tell God and I tell people, they laugh at me. I said, when I get to heaven, I might say, thank you so much. I ain't to never stop saying, God will have to shit my mouth and say, Lincoln, be quiet. That's enough. No, sir. I can't stop saying, I can't say thank you enough. You'll have to steal my mind for me to say, not say thank you no more. I love y'all and God bless you all.
I was going to talk about my experience with Harvey at the hospital, but I just remembered something that I don't think I've really ever shared with anybody, and it's definitely worth sharing it now. It was the day before I came back to work, after I was on leave with Nora. She was 3 months old, and it seemed like that day was full of darkness, like everything that could go wrong was going wrong, and it seemed like Satan was at work to make me quit my job and stay at home with my child. And I know, like, every mom in here who's had to come back to work their first day after being on leave probably had the same exact day that I did. So Nora, I think, was convinced, was already teething. She was upset. She wanted to be, like, fed every hour, and the house was in shambles. I was like, all of this has to be done before I get back to work. This is crazy. So I ended up taking her for, I think, the 57th time, sat in the recliner with her, and I was feeding her, and I just started bawling. I was like, I can't do this. I can't go back to work. And she stopped eating, and her hand reached up and touched my face. And her eyes got really wide, and she was looking in the eye and started cooing. My three-month-old was comforting me and telling me that it was going to be okay. God works through everybody. It doesn't matter how young you are.
Martha, thank you. Jessica, thank you. Lincoln, thank you for that. What we hear sprinkled throughout their testimonies are witnesses to the resurrection that God is already doing in their lives. God is raising deadness to life within them, an ongoing action, an ongoing redemption and rescue. God, we believe, is doing the same thing throughout all of creation, healing and binding and bringing justice to that which is lacking. We hear echoes of that in their testimonies. And as good as their testimonies are, John wants to make sure that we hear this. God has a testimony too. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about His Son. God testifies. God speaks in word and deed through individuals, through a hearing community. God bore witness in Israel and through Israel. God testified to the immense worth and value of human beings by becoming one in the incarnation. God's shared experience, drank the same water, ate the same food, journeyed the same roads, slept in the same fragile body as us. God in person speaks firsthand of love and vulnerability and weakness and shame and claims that this is the victory that overcomes the world. God continues to testify about His Son even today. Through Scripture, engaged fully. Through each other, together making up the baptized body of the living Christ. Through creation itself, the grace of today. Breath in our lungs, eyes, ears, heart. And all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Sisters and brothers, John has testified to us, writing this. I have written this to you so that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. We have preached these same things these last 6 weeks. Preach to those of us who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that we may know we have eternal life, even now. Eternal life, world without end. And together we say, Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us. We should have surely died, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
Amen. Please be seated.
Father, thank you for the testimony of your Son, His life, His death, the promise He gives us for the future. Bless this family as we share the bread this morning. In your Son's name, amen.
Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the hope we have in him to spend eternity with you. We ask that as we take this cup as he had asked us to do, that you continue to bless us, be with us, care for us. These things we pray through him. Amen.
You're going to put your collection, the goldenrod colored encouragement cards, any other cards or things that you have filled out. Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for giving us an opportunity to return a tiny portion of what you've given us, the portion that'll fit in the tray. And thank you even more for the huge, enormous gifts you give. And that you give testimony to. In Jesus' name, amen.